Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Well, good morning. My name is Josh. I'm one of the leaders around here. If you're new to Center Church, you picked a great weekend to hang with us because guess what? It's Selfie Sunday. All right, so go and take your phones out. You have about 15 seconds. Go and take those phones out. Man, back in the day, this was a no-no for me in church, all right? So you can do it right now. You're at Center Church. Take those phones out. Get on your Facebook app real quick, all right? Take a selfie with those next to you. If you don't have Facebook, if you don't do that thing, go ahead and bomb somebody else's photo. All right, you have about a couple seconds left. Go ahead and check in at Center Church. There you go. Go ahead and do it. Post that bad boy, all right? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, bang. Welcome to my millennial world. All right? Man, yeah, all the students were like, yeah, we can take our phones out. Oh, my gosh. But if it's your first time here, welcome. Like I said, my name is Josh. I'm the student pastor. Shout out to everyone watching online or via podcast. I want to encourage you, if you're new around here and you're kind of new to the idea of stepping into a place that's more unfamiliar for you, and you're kicking around the ideas of faith and what it means to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you with this, that you're in a safe space to kind of investigate what it means to have faith or to follow Jesus. So let me help you kind of take that guard down of preconceptions about church and kind of, take the cobwebs away of what that looks like. So you walked into a great place this morning. And our heart as a church is simply just to encourage you with the words or the message of Jesus that can profoundly impact you for good. I truly believe that. It's nothing that I can say that can kind of change you for the better. But when Jesus speaks, life change and transformation happens. I truly believe that. And this morning, we're going to continue our series of 7 Greatest Words of Love from the mouth of Jesus. And we talked about forgiveness on week 1. Last week, we touched on assurance. What does it mean to have faith, or what does it mean to have a relationship with God? And today, we're going to be talking about or unpacking the challenge to love like Jesus did. The challenge to love like Jesus did. Let me ask you a question, and you don't have to answer out loud. You don't have to raise your hand. But do you have a circle of people that you call your crew? Or you call, in students' words, your squad, your family? Those who are your team, you probably are in closest proximity with these people emotionally, relationally. You might be in close proximity with these folks on a daily basis and daily living. People that you do life with, you laugh with, you have meals with. Maybe you plow through some hard times together. You calmly discuss disagreements, right? Wrong. Y'all are liars. You know, you guys sometimes yell at each other. It happens, right? Sometimes in life. But yeah, it's your crew. It's your family. It's your people. But nonetheless, maybe some of us might have this group of people that we consider our circle. Again, that might be family. That might be close friends. That might be other believers who are on this journey with you of faith. One of my favorite movies of all time as a kid was this movie called The Sandlot. Who remembers The Sandlot? Anybody remember that one? Yeah, good? Okay, cool. We're going to go ahead and put a picture of that here on the screen. There you go. It came out in 93. I was about 7 years old. Here's the gang. Let's keep that up there, guys. You got Scotty Smalls, the new kid in town. You had Benny right there. He's wearing number 30. He wore the PF Flyers. He was the best baseball player out of the whole group. You had Ham, which he was like the funny, chubby catcher kid who he said like the famous lines in the movie, you play ball like a girl. You had Squints, who wore those thick brim glasses. He was in love with the lifeguard, Wendy. And again, this this movie takes place in the summer of 63, so these guys are always going to the community pool. And this kid, Squints, he's in love with Wendy. She's one of the lifeguards, so he pretends like he's drowning, and she has to save him. She has to do CPR, you know, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And if you remember that scene, he grabs onto her, and he steals a kiss, and all of a sudden you hear the words, or you hear the music start playing, "This magic moment." Remember that part? And I, like, as a kid, like, as a church kid, like, oh, should I be watching this? Like, but Squints, he was a character. He had Yeah Yeah, he always repeated those words. Kenny the Pitcher, Weeks, Tommy Repeat, because he always repeated what he said, always repeated what he said. And then you had Timmy. Again, one of my all-time favorite movies growing up as a kid, for sure. It was adventure, it was sports, it was staying up late to eat s'mores and hear stories or talk about stories about the Beast, right? So spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, it was pretty much like the big dog that lived on the other side of the fence for these kids, but to them, he was the Beast. It was friendship. It was a bond that was created by a group of guys who just wanted to play ball all summer long. It's the whole gist of the movie. That's a crew. That's a tribe, right? That's a squad. That's a family. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Jesus' story. And the scripture we'll read today details, you know, the people who were actually closest to him. His family, his tribe, whatever label that you want to put on it. They were the ones who spent the most time with him, other than the 12 disciples. Probably saw him on a daily basis. They were very emotionally and relationally attached to him. They spent laughs together. They had meals together, and they also shared tears. So let me read it for us today, then I'll give you some context. It's in John 19, verses 25 to 27. It's going to be up on the screens. Let me read it for you. It says this: "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." Verse 26, "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.'" Verse 27, "And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Let me give you some context here real quick. So at this scene, Jesus is actually on the cross. He's hanging on the cross. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was crucified, the scripture says, for your sin and for mine. And standing close to where he hung that day was a group of people, but not just anybody. It was his mother, Mary. It was Mary's sister. It was two other Marys, okay, didn't have a lot of choices back then. And it was John, in this case, who was referred to as the disciple whom he loved. And the Bible describes that they were actually standing near the cross. And let me just give you maybe a point of reference for this. They're actually standing so close to where Jesus was hanging that they can actually hear him speak from where they were. Imagine that. I can imagine Mary's, you know, she's heartbroken. She's weeping, inconsolable as she stands there watching her son in agony. He's like gasping for his each breath that he has. Remember, she's the one that more than likely comforted Jesus through all the childhood cuts and bruises, you know, all the playground teasing and fussing. Maybe if you have children, you remember those times. She's the one who would stand by his side and instantly wrap her comforting arms around him as a child. And now she stands near the place where Jesus stood. And she sees her son in agony. She sees him dying. Earlier on in the book of Luke, he even records from a man named Simeon, who explains Mary's experience in this time like a sword that's piercing her soul. That's how it feels for her with the loss of her son, like a sword piercing her soul. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever lost anyone close to you? Have you ever experience that kind of sorrow that it feels like something is piercing the innermost part of your heart? That's what Mary felt that day. And instead of being consumed by his own welfare, we actually read how Jesus is touched by Mary's. He's touched by what she's feeling. He feels compassion for her. And he tells John to take his mother. The Bible says from that time on, this person, John, the disciple whom he loved, he cares for Mary. He makes sure she has a place to live, makes sure she has food to eat. He treats her like his own mother. So What does that mean for you and me? How can I take the words and challenge of Jesus and apply them to my circle? How can I apply that to my tribe, those who are in my everyday realm of influence? How does that impact my life with what Jesus did that day? How can I love like Jesus did? If you're taking notes this morning, go ahead and write this down. Some of you guys use the app. That's totally okay. The challenge to love like Jesus. Number one, care for my own family. Care for my own family. We live in a day and age where family dynamics, it's not a one-size-fits-all reality for a lot of us, okay? Well, family dynamics are very different from those who are seated close to you or in the front row or in the back row. Mine is very different than my wife's. You know, my mom and dad, they've been together for 35 years, right? Married. My wife's parents, you know, they've been separated, and now there's more people who are added on into the mix of that kind of family dynamic for her. We're very different when it comes to that. I have friends who have been adopted into their families, right? And then I also have friends who have done the adopting as well, and that's their family dynamic. So whatever that looks like for you, you might be able to say, man, this is us. This is my family. This is my crew. This is my squad. And as you've been placed in the circle of family relationships like you have by God, no matter how that looks like, Jesus challenges us to care for the ones he's entrusted in our influence. I got to care for my family. I got to care for the ones who are closest to me. I got to care for my circle. I got to care for the ones that God has placed into my life. Exodus 20 verse 12 is what it says. It says, honor your father and mother so that you'll live a long time in the land that God, your God, is giving you. Honor your father and mother. But you might say, man, well, my parents were horrible. they've done things to me or hurt me in ways that have really caused some dysfunction in my life. They didn't treat me well. They didn't show me love. They weren't there for me in my life. And that might be true for you, but can I say this? God, in all his wisdom, he chose their DNA to actually create you uniquely who you are today. No matter if you chose that or not, and obviously we didn't, but God chose that. That was actually a divine appointment for your life. There might be accidental parents, okay? But there's never accidental children. Let me say that one more time. There might be accidental parents, okay? Didn't plan this, just kind of happened. But there is never accidental children, according to God. God thought about you. He planned you. He planned your life. He created you. This is not in your notes this morning, but Psalms 139, this is what it says. You knitted me together in my mother's womb long before I took my first breath. It says that every detail of my life was already written in your book. So even before mom and dad thought about you or whatever that was, God already knew who you were. He already knows who you are. He knows every detail of your life. You might have been hurt in the past. You might even question, man, why is God asking me or challenging me to maybe honor people in my life that actually caused a lot more bad than good? Why? God, why would you ask me to do that? Can I say this, man? You're not a mistake. Your life was planned. There is a God who actually knit you together before you took your first breath. That same loving father writes every single detail of your life before your parents even knew you. Maybe caring for your family, maybe honoring your parents today might be forgiving some past pain. That might be forgiving some past hurt. That might be letting go of some things that have really held you back in your adult or even teenage life. And you need to say, you know, man, I need to let that go. I need to honor my family. I need to honor these people in my life that God has placed in my life, no matter what that situation looks like. It means maybe this week you're going to say, I'm no longer holding that against you, Dad. I'm no longer holding that against you, Mom. Or whatever that looks like for you. Maybe you need to make a phone call today. Maybe you need to pay a visit. Maybe you need to truly forgive someone who's wronged you, okay? Proverbs 17:17. I love what it says. It says this, friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Go ahead and circle love through and stick together if you have notes this morning. Circle love through and stick together. I'll tell you what, in life, you're going to experience all kinds of weather. Okay, you're going to experience all kinds of trouble, especially when you live with people, because people mess up and people suck sometimes. It's part of life, right? And they're going to mess up. And sometimes the weather is not going to be how you wanted it to be. But the Bible says, let's love through all kinds of weather. Families stick together in all kinds of trouble. Today, some of us need to love through. Maybe that's something that God is just going to put on your heart today. I need to love through. Whatever that looks like, man. We're having a bad weather at home. I need to love through. Man, my husband or my wife is making mistakes. I need to love through. Maybe, my son or my daughter, they're just not listening to me. I need to love through that today. The injustices, the bad weather, the good weather, the confusing San Diego weather, okay? We need to love through. Families need to stick together in trouble. You know, the finances are suffering. Stick together. Finances are doing good. Stick together. Things are not going well. Stick together. Things are going really, really well. Stick together. We need to love through. We need to stick together. I need to care for my family. Number two is this. I'm going to write this down. Treat other believers as my family. Treat other believers as my family. Romans 12 and verse number 10. It's up here on the screens. I'm going to read it for you. It says this, be devoted to each other like a loving family. Excel in showing respect for each other. Excel in showing respect for each other. I'm going to go ahead and put a picture up here on the screens for you guys. And this happened last year. And this was summer camp. And the theme was brave, being bold in your stand for God. This is probably one of my favorite photos, probably of all time. And I really believe, and I truly believe that this picture captures the heartbeat of what happened in the life of your young person as they stood all together and they said, I'm deciding to be brave. I'm deciding that I'm going to live for God at school, at home, on the ball field, whatever that looks like for me, I'm saying yes. If you're at camp last year, I don't know, some of my leaders are here this morning, maybe as a volunteer, maybe as someone who just kind of stopped by to bring food, and we appreciate you guys. You can tell that the water tables of faith during this camp, it rose. The devotion to God. And with that, this devotion to each other started to kind of well up in our students, and you see kids helping. They're picking up trash. Like, Lord, thank you for young people who pick up trash. And they're praying over their friends. They're advocating for each other. You see leaders start rising, hearts start changing, and I noticed our students started to use this word a lot. It was the word family. And I just noticed that. You could see it on their Instagrams. You can see it like when they would text each other, when they would, you know, talk about each other. Like, this is my family. This is my community. These are my people. In their words, this is my squad, right? And they would just be so excited about that. And they stood together. And that spirit actually rose from an inward place of surrender to God that says, you know, God, I'm willing to say yes to you and the things that is on your heart. And the things that you really care about. And I know that you care about how I treat other people, but not only that, you care about how I treat other people who are on this faith journey with me as well. There's something different about that spirit. Because God cares about how we operate together as believers. Galatians 6:10, let me read it for you. This is what it says. It says, whenever we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who belong to the family of believers. This is what another translation says, and maybe it's a little bit more clear for you. Work for the benefit of all. If you do anything, if you try to help anyone out, just do it for everybody's benefit, okay, not just for your own. But you start with the people who are closest to us in this faith community. That's what the Bible says. He's saying, man, you have the opportunity to help anyone. Man, let's go for it. Let's do it. Let's help other people win. That's what I'm calling you to do. But why don't you start with the people who are actually closest to you in the family of faith? Let's start at home. Let's start here. It's being devoted. It's having somebody else's back. It's respect. It's having an attitude that says, man, how can I serve somebody else today? How can I help somebody else win? How can I treat other believers as my family? Number three, go ahead and write this down. Number three, it says, learn to see others' pain even when I'm in pain. Wow, this is a deep one, and I'm going to unpack this here in a second. Learn to see others' pain even when I'm in pain. Philippians 2:5, this is the NIV version, and this is what it says. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. If you're taking notes, go ahead and circle attitude. Your attitude. We're gonna stop there real quick. You know, this morning we read about how even in brutal agony, even when Jesus was suffering, he was moved by soul-piercing heartbreak of his mom. Even when he was physically broken, he actually acknowledged somebody else's brokenness, even when he was broken. That takes a lot of selflessness. That takes a lot of discipline. It takes the occasional, you know, breaking out of this tunnel vision of, you know, this is all I see. I need to kind of look up and see around because I'm not the only one who's experiencing hurts. There's other people around me. I got to get my eyes off of me. I love what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:1. Let me read it for you. This is what it says. It says, since Christ suffered and underwent pain, you must have the same attitude he did, circle attitude. You must be ready to suffer too. For remember, when your body suffers, sin loses its power. You're kind of like, okay, first time at church. Now all of a sudden I got to suffer. Like, what's going on? Like, I don't really get it. God, like, Josh, what are you talking about? Like, this is what that verse means, okay? When Christ suffered that horrendous pain, when he died on the cross for our sins, we should have that same attitude, is what that means. It's kind of like a military connotation for each and every person here. That attitude that Christ had in suffering, we should arm ourselves. We should actually equip ourselves with that attitude. Just as Jesus suffered, we should let our bodies suffer. Let our flesh suffer, our old habits, this old sinful nature. The Bible uses the word the old nature. You know, our flesh, it wants what it wants. Our natural tendencies are to please this flesh. You know, I want to do what I want to do. That's very highly disconnected from God. But when we deny that old life, we actually suffer this body. We suffer the body. We don't feed that old life. And when we deny that sin, when we deny those things that are disconnecting me from God, we are actually living and operating together with God. And sin has no power over your life. Sin has no power when you put that attitude on of, you know what, I'm going to let this physical body suffer and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. That's what that word means. That's what that verse means. Sin has no power over my life. I'm going to, when I suffer my flesh, when I deny old unhealthy habits, when I live my life surrendered to God, sin loses its power over me, and I learn to love more like Jesus did. That even when I'm experiencing significant pain, I learn to see somebody else's pain too, because life's not all about me. My eyes are just not on me. I gotta care for my family. I gotta treat other believers as my family. I gotta learn to see others' pain even when I'm in pain. Here's number four. I'm gonna write this down. Meet the needs of others even if mine aren't met. Meet the needs of others even if mine aren't met. That takes a lot of maturity, that takes a lot of spiritual growth. That takes a lot of selflessness. Romans 12:13. This is what it says. It says, when God's children are in need, be the one to help them out. Get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner or if they need lodging for the night. Here's what Romans chapter 15, verses 2 and 3 is what it says. It's up on the screens as well. It says, each one of us needs to look after the good of other people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? How can I help somebody else? How can I just not be all about me? How can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I help somebody else win? You're sitting in a room this morning, all right, in a room full of people who have unmet needs, okay? Every single person in here probably has at least one person today can say, or at least everybody on their list can say, there's one area in my life that this is just not up to my expectations. This is just not meeting the quota that I wanted it to meet this year. It's kind of lacking. And here's a few things you can do with that, okay? Here's a few things you can do with experiencing that or having that maybe attitude or spirit in you. You could, number one, let it eat you up, okay? And then like a sponge, you just kind of soak up all that stuff and you become sour. You can mask it and act like it's not even there. You can pacify it by placing that expectation on somebody else, like you don't own it. You're like, you know what? It's because of them. It's because they don't treat me this way. That's why I feel like this. It's because she didn't invite me out to coffee and she invites other people out to coffee. That's why I feel like that. It's the, you know, if they just didn't do that to me, then I wouldn't feel bad or feel unwelcome. Or maybe if they just did more of this, then I would feel better. And we kind of place that on other people. Okay? You let it eat you up. You mask it. You pacify it by not owning it. Or you can do this. You can let these situations mature you. You can let these things grow you. You can let this actually sharpen your faith. And maybe the unmet needs that you have inside, you let God fill those needs, because newsflash, people are going to disappoint you. Josh is going to disappoint you. People in this room are going to disappoint you because we're not perfect and we're going to mess up. And that's why we should put our dependence on God. That's why we should fill that void or that need with the one who never fails. When you allow God to do something in you, he always does something through you. When you allow God to do something in you, he will always do something through you. And the question that you ask yourself changes from, who's going to meet my needs, to how can I help you? How can I help somebody else win? How can I serve someone else today? Here's the last fill-in, and we're going to be done this morning. It's this: Jesus cares about my pain, and he calls me to love others in theirs. Jesus cares about my pain, and he calls me to love others in theirs. Jesus' message or Jesus' words today isn't about denying your needs or denying that there's something in your life that may be lacking, okay? But Jesus' words is simply this. It is about understanding that he cares about your hurts, he cares about your pains, he cares about your struggles, and he challenges you to love other people in theirs as well. Even though we're suffering, even though we're going through something hard, we're challenged to love just like Jesus did. What does that look like for you today? Jesus cares about my pain, and he calls me to love other people in theirs. Let me pray for us today. God, thank you so much for my friends and just the challenge to love like you loved us. I don't know whose heart you spoke to this morning, God, but maybe there's someone today that a person came into their mind about the challenge of loving my family and caring about my family, that they need to get something right today. They need to make a call today or a text, a Facebook message, and they just need to get something right. That's been souring for years and years and years. God, I pray over that person today that you would challenge them to take that next step. Maybe today the challenge for somebody today is treating other believers as my family, having their back, showing some respect, maturing in their walk with you to help somebody else win. Maybe it's learning just to get the eyes off of myself and to put it on somebody else and kind of break that tunnel vision in order to love like how you love, Jesus. So I pray over my friends today that whatever it is that you challenge them to, that they would take that next right step. That they would take that next right step and kind of up the level of their faith journey today, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. In your name, I ask these things. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.